Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, it is so exciting to be a child of God. Hallelujah. You know, the Spirit of God is always stirring. He's always moving and he's always breathing life into situations and circumstances. And no matter how things look around you, God is working out a plan of his own. And that is worth being glad about. And so the joy of the Lord ought to be our strength. Absolutely. And that is why Satan tries to rob you of your joy, so that you can have no strength. And so when you see a lack of strength, you know there's also a lack of the joy of the Lord. And I can assure you, they're inseparable. You cannot separate this principle from your life. And you and I are a part of this great design that God has established among us so that we can be an example to the world. Hallelujah. Well, we do have lovely flowers here today, so maybe I'll just pick one of these up. So, flowers, do you know of the joy of the Lord? Oh, yes. Even the flowers praise God. Notice how their petals open up and they are thinking, hallelujah. Sometimes you wonder, are these people of God or of the world? Sometimes it's hard to tell. And I can assure you that we as the people of God are able to endure. We're able to persevere. We're able to overcome because of the glory of God, because of the working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work. God is working in the midst of his people. And you and I ought to be experiencing that. And if we're not, we need to start. And it's never too late. But we ought to engage in the things of the Spirit of God rather than just abiding in our flesh, going about our daily routine. We must connect and engage in the Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives life. And saints of God, if you don't understand how to engage in the Spirit, you're just going along waiting for something to happen, waiting for God to do some magical mystery thing, you're going to miss. You're going to have a carnal life experience. But when you engage in the realm of the Spirit of God and you tap in to his presence and his anointing is stirring within you, the bondages that oppress and bind us will be broken. It is a work of the Spirit of God. And that is what the reflection is all about. That is what you and I are here to represent in this world. We are to reflect the image of glory, the glory of God, the radiating light of Christ, the light of God himself. And as we apply these principles in our lives, we will see the manifestations of God. Are you looking for the manifestations of God? Or are we just here to be religious? Are we just here to sing songs? Are we just here to pray some prayers, you know, and hope, oh, please, I just hope God is there to hear and to respond. Is that what we're here for? No. No, we're here to worship the Lord. We're here to magnify the Lord. We're not here to magnify problems. We're not here to magnify issues and what's happening outside of the realm of the kingdom of God. We're here to bring glory and honor to God. And this is what we have been talking about all year. We have been trying to reestablish the understanding within ourselves as we've been put to the test by what's happening in the world, which is, the Bible clearly says all this stuff will happen in the last days. I just don't understand why people are so shocked and surprised by all that's going on. It ought not faze you. It ought not faze you. We ought to be walking in the wisdom and the power of God, in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God with power. Isn't that what Paul said? Isn't that what he said? He said, my speaking and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration. And saints of God, if you don't have a demonstration, then you're just religious. And you and I, we need to have a demonstration. That is where the evidence comes from. That's where the proof of God comes from. Not to us, because we're living it. We're experiencing it. We're stirring in it. It's overflowing from us. And the world is being impacted by our experience and connection and communion with God. And saints of God, don't let Satan rob you of your joy. And this year, we have been talking about this whole idea of prevailing beyond the times. We started out in January, in the beginning of the year, talking about redirecting our passions, refocusing ourselves so that our passions are directly in line with God and His Word Himself. Our passion ought to be for the things of the Spirit of God. It begins by sitting at the Master's feet. We talked about then bringing what we have, bringing our fragments, bringing the little things that whatever it is that we have, and we lay it before God, and God repurposes it. He takes what we have and He repurposes it. And then we talked about being citizens of the holy city. Do you remember this? And as citizens of the holy city, there are certain rights and authorities that come along with citizenship. And we talked about having identifications and the things that will be able to prove who we are. God wants us to be able to show that He is real and He's not shaken. God is not shaken. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what is going on in our lives, what the problems are, what the issues are. God is not shaken by them. He is fully aware and already has a plan that's already in play. So what we see shouldn't shake us because of our citizenship and who we are. We talked about knowing who we are in Christ, who we are as the children of God, and then living a life that's kingdom compliant, applying the principles of the kingdom of God, not of the earth and the world, but the principles of the kingdom. And you and I are people of the kingdom. And so we live according to kingdom rules and authority. We apply these principles in our lives so that we can have a different life experience than the world does. And our life experience will be different if we apply godly principles in our life. And that inspires us, right? It inspires us to pick up our mantle. We want to be able to do whatever it is God is calling us to do, what He's compelling us to do. We pick up our mantle. And in July, we talked about persevering in hope, liberty, and truth. God sets us free. He whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. Our hope is not in the world. It's not in drugs. It's not in jobs. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And we live according to the truth of God. God's word is truth. And so we obey the truth. We obey the things that God has called us to do. The world says, be afraid and hide. Whatever you do, don't go anywhere. Just stay wherever you are and don't do anything. But God says, arise. God says, arise. And the enemies of God will be scattered. And as we operate according to biblical principle, he will enable us to occupy the house. Hallelujah. To occupy the house. Whenever you're in warfare, you're occupying the word. As soon as you say occupy, that means hold your ground. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of what God has done for you. What he's done in your life, his provision, his attributes, your identity. Don't lose your identity as a child of God. Arise and occupy the house. Occupy your home. Your home ought to be filled with the presence of God, with the Spirit of God. And you ought to be doing everything you possibly can to establish an atmosphere that is conducive to God's anointing. God's anointing. You pick your music carefully and let it play. You sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto God. You establish yourself so that you can be a polished arrow. And God will renew you. He will refine you. He will cause you to be able to reflect the very kingdom and power of God that you're experiencing. It will reflect off of you to the lives of those around you, to the experiences that you have, to the things that you see, your perceptions. Everything will be changed. And this brings us to where we are at this final quarter of the year. This is where we are looking here in the month of December and remembering the fact that Christ came for the purpose of giving us life. Hallelujah. He came to live so that you and I might have life. He modeled the way for us. He communed with the Father, and you and I have been given all of the tools and the resources we need in order to prevail. And so we must prevail. We must recognize when the enemy is at work, and we must take up the tools that are related to the kingdom of God in order to bring down the strategies of the enemy. Because the enemy is a spirit. It's a spirit. And spirits attack people in ways that make the people think that it's their own mind that's reasoned and rationalized correctly when it has not. The mind has been deceived into seeing something that is contrary to what God is actually doing. And that is where we all struggle. We struggle because we cannot discern the difference between Satan's illusions in our mind and the realities of God. The fact that God is working and doing something is blinded from us, so we can't see what God is doing. We only see what's going wrong, where the problems are. But God says, my people who are called by my name, when they humble themselves and pray, he brings healing. Isn't that right? He brings renewal. He brings revival. God arises. There is a shift in the dynamics of the Spirit of God. And so, polish your arrows. And make sure that you are experiencing God for yourself. that there is a stirring of God's presence. Talk to God. God talks to his people. He will respond to you. Establish and build your relationship with God. Don't go through your life as if God is somewhere out there. He's not. He's right here. Right here. He is ever present in times of trouble. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. God is always there. And especially when times are troubling. God is there. And he is here now. And you and I are experiencing the dynamics of his presence. And so today we're talking about reflecting image of glory. Reflecting image of glory. This is our mission. This is what we do. This is who we are. We are reflectors of the image of glory. The glory of God. That means as the glory of God shines, because God's glory is always shining. You know, God is like the sun that never goes down, never goes out. The sun doesn't go out. Did you know that? Sun never goes out. The only thing is that things get in the way, so you just can't see it or experience its effects. And that's what happens with us and God. The devil gets in the way to block so that we cannot experience the effects of God. And this is where faith comes in, because we trust God. We trust that it's just a matter of time. It's going to turn. Things are going to turn so that his glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. When you understand this, it changes your life. It really does. And so we learn how to wait on the Lord. And God keeps shining. And sometimes you just got to get above the clouds. And sometimes you know that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're here as the people of God to experience the power of God in our lives. And each of us brings what we have cultivated all week long into the sanctuary so that we can all experience dunamis, the power of God, the power of God to break chains, to bring down the strongholds of the enemy so that we can be free. And so today we have my fellow comrades, my pastoral staff, Pastor Raphael and Pastor Michal, who will join me. And today we are going to be talking about the image of glory and how we have been cultivating this understanding so that we can rightly and effectively reflect the image of God. And we need to fully be able to relate in a way that enables us to walk in power and the strength of God. All right? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would arise in the midst of us today. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people. God, enable us to navigate this realm and be able to be effective at reflecting what you are shining, and that we would be able to be strengthened, renewed, and revived by the Spirit of the Lord as the Word of God comes alive in us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Raphael, who's going to lead us off here. And you want to take the... And he's got some goodies for us.
Well, it's always a measure of faith when I sit on these chairs. So I ease myself in. But let me just, I'm not ready yet. But I want to get something real quick, if that's okay, Pastor Shelley.
Sure, absolutely.
Can I grab something real quick?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. The youth pastor in me is taking over. In the beginning. Dun, 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 in the dun, beginning dun, dun, was the dun, word. All right. Don't worry. I'm not making potions. It's not that kind of church. But I hope it's something that gets the point across. So, we were talking about reflecting the image of glory. And when I had the opportunity to minister back in, what month was that? October. That's right, my son's birthday. That's important. So, we were talking about being all in for Jesus. And what does it mean to be all in for Jesus? And really, the passage that really stood out to me during that time was in Matthew 19, beginning of verse 16 to 29. It says, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" And in verse 18, it tells us that he says to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus says, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the arrogant young man responds, "All of these things I've kept. What am I still lacking?" We all know that's a lie. And he says, Jesus says to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He owned much property. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, he's reiterating, "I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Then Peter says to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And that's where this that's in front of me comes into play. Because a lot of people have a hard time understanding, and even I had a hard time understanding, and to this day sometimes have a hard time understanding. What does it mean that they've left everything and followed Jesus, right? Because is the expectation, all right, I have a house with a mortgage. Do I go to the bank and tell them, "Listen, Jesus is calling me. I can't pay this because I need to give it to Jesus. So if you want the next payment, go talk to Jesus," right? That's not, you know, that's not the deal. But really what it's talking about is giving our all to Jesus. So I have two vessels here, and this is important because this might get messy, and this suit is dry clean only. And so a lot of people, they have to understand. So this is us. We start off as empty vessels, and God pours life into that vessel, right? And when God pours life into that vessel, a lot of people say, all right, well, to give it all to Jesus means I'm just going to take what God has given me and I'm just going to pour it back into God. But we have to understand something. God doesn't just pour into us one time. God doesn't just go, we don't just give our life to God, and then after we give our life to God, we say, all right, that's enough. I don't know about you, but when God pours himself into my life, I'm like, all right, oh, praise God. You know, I'm saved and God is doing something in my life. It doesn't take long before I have to ask God for more.
Right.
How about you?
Yeah.
Doesn't take long before I have to ask God for more. So I'm like, Lord, I need more in my life. And he says, you need more in your life? Okay, I got you. I'm going to give you some more in your life, right? And then he goes on. And then after that, it doesn't take much longer for me to have to say, Lord, I need more. I need more because I need more of you, God, to get through this life. And God says, okay, I got you. I'm going to pour more into your life, right? And then after that, it doesn't take long.
Doesn't take long.
Before I got to say, God, what you gave me already isn't enough. And I need more in my life, God. He says, okay, I got you. I'm going to pour more into your life, right? And he goes on and on and on this life. But there's going to be coming a moment in your life. And when that moment comes into your life where God says, all right, I've given you everything. This is the moment where you truly need to just follow me. And everything it is that God has given us in our life, God's going to say, I need you to use all of that. And I need you to reach the people, right? This right here, this is the world right here in this bowl. Not, the earth isn't flat, don't get me wrong, okay? But this represents the world. And if we truly give it all to God when he says, give everything up and follow me, then when we are about to pour everything back, everything that we pour back in should overflow out because God has always given you more than you can ever ask or imagine. Yeah. And when you pour everything back in and it bleeds out into the world because the blessings that God has given you into your life, it's not just for the soul satisfaction of self. God has given us everything that he has given us so that it can flow out of us into those who need it. We're talking about Mission Sunday this Sunday. We're talking about all of these different things that are going on this holiday season. We need to understand God has given us so much. And if we truly want to follow God, we need to be willing to take everything that he's ever poured into our life and give it to him so that it could bleed out into a world that is hurting. Amen?
Amen.
And in 28, praise God, praise God. In 28 says, truly I say to you that you have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life.
Hallelujah.
All of those things mean nothing compared to the eternal gift that God has given you called eternal life. So what is it in our lives that we're like, Lord, you know, I'm just going to give you some of it, but not all of it. I'm going to give you some of it, most of it even, God, but I want to just keep a little bit. No, God doesn't call for that. God calls you to pour it all out so that we can actually show people what God is capable of in our lives. Amen? Praise Amen. God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God that worked.
Yes, I know. I see. Hallelujah. Are you overflowing in God? That's really the question. Are you overflowing in God? Are you allowing God to pour into you so that you can pour back and allow God's overflow to impact the people around you? That is the life of the Christian. That is who we are for as representatives and ambassadors of Christ. That's what Jesus did. He gave all. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And then God poured back into him.
Amen.
And now what he has been able to obtain and all that he is poured into us.
Amen.
And then we just repeat the process amongst the people around us, the people in our lives. And so we impart Christ. And so did you enjoy that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, We not only talked about being all in for Jesus, but then we talked about obedience to perseverance to prosperity, right? Because this is the process that God uses to enable us to overcome and so that God can abundantly supply us. God doesn't run out. God doesn't run dry. Mm. So you can keep on giving. Isn't Amen. That right? Hallelujah. You want to share, Pastor?
So yeah, this was an awesome sermon for me. It's still a life pursuit of mine, even the sermon in itself. Because as the Lord gave it to me, he really opened up my eyes to what it means to be obedient first and then persevere in that obedience. But I'm going to read from Matthew first. And we go through this, Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And at that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So praise God, and Jesus goes on to even explain that parable out even more. And I know that in context, Jesus is speaking about, you know, people here. That as the word reaches people, different types of people. But, you know, as I was reading that, the Lord really challenged me in that and said, well, look at your own heart. I think that's the challenge he has for us even this morning. Not to look at it as he's speaking of other people, but look at it, your own heart. In some areas in our lives, we can come to a place of obedience before God and operate out of obedience. In other areas, we fail to come into obedience. And the reason I believe, and the Lord really showed me this, was because we often look at obedience as a set of laws or a set of standards that we have to meet. And if we don't meet those standards, then we've failed. And a lot of times we can't meet those standards. We continually fail. So we give up, or we stop trying, right? But obedience is not just about meeting the regulations. Jesus already fulfilled the entire law, right? On our behalf, right?
Right?
What God's obedience is, that as we enter into this relationship with the Lord, he continually gives us new instructions every day. That's the relationship we're supposed to have. That we wake up in the morning, we start our relationship with God, even as soon as we open up our eyes and we start that communication with the Lord, and he starts to give us instructions for that day. And now as we walk in that day, we learn to be obedient to God. As God says, you know, speak to this brother, pray over this brother, you know, or whatever it may be, whatever it is that the Lord is instructing throughout that day, we learn to walk in obedience to God in that way. Then we, not only do we learn to walk in obedience, but we learn to actually seek God for instruction so we can be obedient. And until we actually get to that place, we can't even understand what it is to persevere in the Lord. Because if we can't get to a place where we're hearing from God continually, or we're hearing the instruction from God and then acting in obedience, then how do we justify any of our actions as children of God? You know, Jesus said he did nothing except he heard from the Father. That should be our testimony as well. That as we go, the Lord is always communicating with us. We're always hearing the Holy Spirit, you know, his voice instructing us which way to go, left, right, speak to this person, don't speak to that person. You know, watch your anger here, whatever it may be. But all these things, we need to hear the word, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit continuing our lives and come into obedience. And as we get to that place, because the thing is that if we are not in that place, then how can we say we're in obedience to God? Because we're not hearing from God. So if we're not in obedience, the only other option is to be in disobedience to God, because we're not actually hearing his instructions. We may be trying to actually live the letter of the law, but, you know, God is not after the letter of the law. He's after the spirit of the law. And his desire is that we would hear from him continually. And as we get into that place, as we start to actually formulate that relationship with him, where we're hearing from him, walking in obedience, now when challenges come our way, now when the enemy starts to rise up a standard, now when the world starts to throw, you know, all it can at us, now we know we can persevere because we'll be hearing from God. And as we hear from God, we'll know exactly how to persevere. And until we learn how to persevere, we can be going, like even just last week, I was here and I popped something in my shoulder. And all week, I just haven't been able to lift my arm. This is the highest I've been able to lift it all week. But and on top of that, I have Crohn's disease and it's been acting up all week. But in that, I was able to find a place of rest in the Lord, where even though I knew, like, that has the potential to actually overwhelm you. If this is something that's long-term, it's easy to have pain, have a headache, you take an aspirin, it goes away. But if you a pain, and I know Jorge can justify this as well, but if you have pain, it's continually, every day, and it's overwhelming your life, it gets to a point where it's overwhelming, and you just can't seem to find an escape from that. And it can become depressing, and it can become debilitating. But God, you know, we find that rest, we find that place in God, and as we persevere, God starts to give us instruction. He starts to minister to us. He starts to show us that there is a purpose and a plan even for this. And the awesome thing is that as we come from that place of obedience, as we learn that place of obedience, as we're persevering, then we can walk in prosperity. And I'm not talking about prosperity as the world would talk about prosperity, but prosperity not in worldly wealth, but knowing that no matter what situation you find, no matter what situation you find yourself in or you are faced with, that you can face that because you know that God is with you in that situation. And that's a prosperity that nobody can give you. You can only receive that from God. You can only walk in that process, and you need nothing at that point. You know, at that point, sorry, the prosperity that you will have at that point will be far greater than any riches you could amass or Amen. Accumulate. Because you will have an assurance, you will have a joy, as Pastor Lee was talking about earlier, that will be a strength that you will be able to face any situation you're in. And not just that, but you will be able to minister to those who are going through the exact same situation that you're going Amen. Through. And then you'll be able to tell them from personal experience and very intimate experience, listen, this is the joy of the Lord, and this is your wealth, this is your strength, this is your prosperity. But it begins back at learning how to hear the voice of God every single day in every situation. And, you know, if you don't shy away from pressing in. Because God wants to speak to every one of us. It's not that God's only speaking to me and he's not speaking to you. He's speaking to every one of us. Amen. We have to tune our ears. We have to tune our very spirit into the Spirit of God. So into the voice of the Holy Spirit. So that as we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and as he continues to instruct us, we'll be able to hear him even clearer than we hear the world or than we hear any other of the voices of the enemy or even the demonic realm. Right. Yep. The Lord wants us operating out of that place. And out of that place of obedience, we will learn that we can persevere through anything. And in that perseverance, even in that perseverance, we'll have a prosperity because the joy of the Lord will be our continued strength. So praise God.
Praise God. Amen. That strength is what enables us.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
the difference between Old Testament living right. and New Testament living. Living prior to Christ, and not only prior to Christ, but even when you look at the other side of it, which is the other side where the Holy Spirit came down, that is where the shift changed. That's where everything yeah. happened. So what happens now in the Old Testament, people heard the word and then they just had to obey, right? Yeah. You heard the word and then they just obeyed. Yeah. Yeah. And if they did, then they reaped the blessing of God. God caused everything to be at peace with yeah. them. But if they didn't, then they had troubles, right? Then the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and every yeah. other kind of type came after them. And their lives were miserable. And that principle is still in existence today. Amen. When we walk in obedience to God and his word, then the provisions of God, the ways of God are unfolded before us. God makes a way for us. And he causes things to happen that otherwise would not happen. And then when we obey God, that's when everything opens up. But in the New Testament, we see that now there's another element. Because the problem was in the Old Testament, people didn't have the wherewithal to be obedient. They didn't have the strength or the power to be obedient. They were easily beguiled. They got caught up in what they saw, what the other nations around them were doing. They got stuck on, you know, their needs or their wants and all these kinds of things. And instead of trusting God, they looked to the resources that the nations around them used. And they began to adapt their ways to the ways of the nations around them, the people around them. And that's exactly what happens to people today. This is what is the biggest challenge of the Christian church. We're adapting our ways to the world, and rather than applying the truths of God or trusting in the promises of God and in the truths of God, we are allowing the world and the world's perspective to be imposed upon us, so that we are now following the world as opposed to holding on to the truths of God. And that only happens in the hearts of people who fail to commune in the Holy Spirit. Because that is where the New Testament dynamic comes in. Once you become someone who communes in the Spirit of God, who fellowships in God, who walks with God, not just going through a religious routine, but there is a work of the Spirit going on.
Amen.
And this is, you know, this is one of the, probably the most important element of being a Christian.
Yeah.
It's having a relationship in the Spirit of God. It's not just being religious and knowing what the Word of God says and understanding that. It's about a relationship that Christ provided. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Christ provides the way for us to spiritually engage with God, who is Spirit. So Spirit connects with Spirit. Spirit communing with Spirit. The Word of God opens the door for that. That's who Jesus is. He said, I am the door, right?
Yep.
So Christ opens the door that the Spirit may come in. And that is how we are born again. We're born again not just because we believe or certain words or we said a certain prayer. It's because the Spirit comes in. When the Spirit comes in, that is what enables us to commune with God. And what is God?
Spirit.
Hallelujah. If God is Spirit, we need the Spirit of God to be able to connect with God. It's the connectivity factor. You cannot connect in a realm that you can't even perceive or relate to. And so the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, he came down in the upper room. God ignited something in the life of the disciples that day that overflowed now into the world, so that you and I are able to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It even says in Scripture, the very power that raised Christ from the dead,
yes,
now dwells in us, right?
Correct.
And we know that was the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit now dwells in us. It's not just a spirit or a, you know, like a force that's out there. It is but a personal, it is a, right, you are right. Sealed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit right. has now right. come and taken up residence in each and every one of us. If you were saved, you have the same power that Jesus walked on this earth with.
Yes.
Abides in every one of us.
Correct.
So it's not that we can't come into a place of obedience.
Right.
We can learn to be obedient. Right. We'll never fulfill full obedience as Jesus did.
Right.
But we can learn to be more and more obedient. But we have to be able to hear the word of the Holy Spirit first in our lives. We have to be attuned to that. That as we're going around about our day, we have to be able to hear. As you were even saying one time, and I know I do this all the time now, do I take the Palisades or do I take the True Way? You know,
right.
and even just right. down to that simple question,
right.
God will answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not
you
that
will.
That's just this
you
mysterious
will.
Question out there. God wants
that's
to
right.
be part of our everyday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He wants to be a part of every decision we make.
Right.
And as we wait on his response keeps coming quicker. And then we actually start to hear his response, and we start to act in obedience to that response. And as we do that, there's a dynamic that there's no way you can explain rationally. You right. can't quantify that relationship. All you can do is continue to grow in it, continue to experience it, and that's a very personal thing. And how you're going to experience it is going to be different from how I experience it.
Right.
But God's desire is that he made each one of us unique, so he would have a unique relationship with each and every one of us. Right. So that as we walk about our day, that he'll use me to reach someone that you can't reach,
right.
but he'll use you to reach someone that I can't reach.
Right.
And that's his
right.
desire, is that each right. one of us would be, as Pastor Raphael even showed there, would right. be that overflow
right.
that would actually impact our very sphere of influence, wherever right. we are, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will be overflowing from us, right. and that his fruits... They're not our fruits. The fruits of the Spirit belong to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And he will start to actually now pour out his fruits, overflow from us. But right. we first have to be filled.
Right.
And the only way we can get right. filled is if we're in that place God where we're continually allowing right. God to pour into us,
yes.
continually allowing God, right. Lord, to saturate me in the very power mm-hmm. and presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you do, as we do that, obedience won't be laborious.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Obedience will be something that we'll have take joy in because right. we'll want to do what God is calling us to do.
Right.
We won't want any longer to do, even as it says in Romans 7, we no longer want to do what the flesh wants to do.
Right.
But we want to do what God wants us to do. And we find joy in actually being obedient to God, you know?
Right. Yes, Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what enables us to navigate a lot of this stuff that's going on around us.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit says, turn to the left, turn to the right. It's the difference between having a map. Remember maps? You know, you unfold those things.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, you have to. It's the difference between that, having that, and GPS. Having a GPS. Right?
Rerouting.
And, you know, we have the Holy Spirit who's like a GPS in our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And he will speak to us and say, don't do that. Go do this. Or go this way. Or go that way. Or, you know what?
Make
you
an illegal U-turn.
Don't do it. Yeah, right, right. Turn around. You know, he may even say, run, you know, run from that, you know.
Yeah.
But he gives us direction, and we have to follow that direction. And each of us have to be able to hear God for ourselves. I can't be trying to listen to the GPS in the guy's car driving by me down the highway. I can't do that. Hey, could you turn that up? I can't hear. You know, you can't live your life that way. And this is, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we live our life trying to listen to somebody else's GPS.
Yeah.
You know, you
Amen.
Can't.
Amen.
You know, God is taking you somewhere, and you're a part of something that God is already doing. And you have to hear from God for yourself
Amen.
So that the Spirit of God can manifest himself. And so often, you know, we pray for healing, we pray for deliverance, we pray for all this stuff, and it seems like nothing is happening. But if you're not hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, you can say all you want in a prayer form or in a song form or in a crying form or whatever kind of form you want to say it.
Haiku.
It's not going to matter. You know, it's not going to matter because it didn't come from God. And if it doesn't come from God,
Amen.
it's not going to happen by God.
Amen.
And that is the important element. Jesus, and you brought it out. He said, whatever the Father says or does, that's what I do, is what mm-hmm. Jesus said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are trying to do what we feel like we want to happen or what we think should happen. That's all flesh based. Mm-hmm. And then we think God is somehow going to honor what we
right.
come up with. But that's
true.
Not how it works.
No.
God only does what God Amen. Says he's going to do.
Amen.
And that is why we have to know what the Word of God says
Amen.
So that we can apply it in our lives so that we can get a godly result. Because
yeah.
God tells us, this is what I want to do. And then we say, yes, Lord,
mm-hmm.
and we follow him.
Yeah.
Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't mm-hmm. say, blaze your own trail, you know, be kung fu, you know, Christian.
God bless us.
You know, yeah, yeah, Lord, bless my mess. It's not that, you know. It's hearing, my sheep hear my voice,
yeah.
and follow me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Yep. So no matter where you go in the New Testament, it's always about hearing God. And what is modeled in the Old Testament is hearing God and then doing what God says. But if we don't hear, then how do you do? Yeah. How do you know? There's the prophets of old, right? They're no more. Now we have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is doing the work of the prophets from the old days.
That's right.
And that is why when you're operating in the Spirit, you're operating in the fullness of God.
Amen.
You don't need a title. You don't need a thing. It doesn't matter whether you might be working in the medical field. You might be working in a business field, some industrial position. You might be an office worker. Whatever it is, the same Spirit is at work in your life.
Amen. Amen.
And that was, were you going to say something?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, bro. Because I'm going to show you
read
scripture.
On a roll.
Oh, I'm rolling, baby.
All right. But no, it's such an important point that you're making, right? We're talking about that God or the Holy Spirit is our GPS, and you can't be driving down listening to someone else's GPS. And really, we really got to get to an understanding that the reason that you can't listen to somebody else's GPS is not only because the voice isn't as strong, to you in someone else's car, but that person's destination is not yours.
Right. That's right.
And too often we look at other people and we're like, we want to be like that person or we want to do what that person. That's not what God wants for you.
Right.
Right. And like you said.
Or you'd already be there.
Right? Or he would have told you, just get behind that guy.
Right.
Right. But the fact of the matter is that, our own personal relationship is required in order to be able to hear from God.
Amen.
And as a youth pastor, that's a message that we drive home every single week. You cannot get to heaven on the coattails of your parents' salvation.
Amen.
That is a decision that they have to make for themselves, and every individual has to make for themselves. Because at the end of the day, I call it a godly positioning system, the GPS. And so you want to make sure that when you're listening to the voice of God, that not only are you listening to the voice of God, but you're focused on what it is that he wants you to do. Because we could be hearing the voice of God and looking at something else.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's how you miss your exit.
That's how you miss your exit. And on 87, you miss an exit. Right. You're going for a while.
15 miles out of your
life. Right. Absolutely.
As we're going along in this life, when you're driving, they tell you, when you don't want to look at what's right in front of your hood, right? When you're driving, you want to look up a distance because you need to be able to know what's coming. And at the distance, that's Jesus up there. You want to keep your focus over there.
Right.
You don't want to be too concerned with what's going on everywhere else around you. God gives us peripheral vision to see, a bit of what we need to see in order to be safe. But our focus, that needs to be where God's telling us to go.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right. I'm going to share the couple of verses here just so that, because it's tying in with what we're talking about here. In Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you already have the fullness, right?
Amen.
You've got it. It's already there as a resource. Now, all we have to do is allow Christ to be raised up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let the Spirit of God arise in you. He's already indwelling you if you've received Christ. If you've asked, who hasn't prayed, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit"?
Amen.
Every day. If you haven't, you need to do that now.
Yes.
Do that right now. And quick. Quick. Hallelujah.
I got you. Who needs it?
Yeah, exactly. Verse 12 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live."
Amen.
"For all who are being led by the Spirit of God these are sons of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So now you see Paul's distinction here between the sons of God and those who aren't, those who are being led by the Spirit. So whatever spirit is leading you or inspiring you or motivating you or causing you to think the way you're thinking, that is what spirit you're of.
Amen.
If it's not the Spirit of God, if it's not in line with the Word of God or the truth of God, then that's not God.
Mm-mm.
And we have to learn how to recognize these things so that we can overflow in God and commune in God.
I just want to add, just as, yeah. as we're going through that, because, you know, don't trust the fact that you're saved, that you're automatically following after the Spirit of God.
Right, right.
You know, the devil is a crafty individual. You know,
right.
he can bring us, start putting stuff in our peripheral vision
right.
to distract us from Jesus
right.
and cause us to start looking at that now and thinking even
right.
that we're following after the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Right.
But he has now distracted us and we're following after the wrong spirit. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God. Because if you're in the Word of God, then Satan can't fool you with his lies.
Yeah.
And he can't distract you with what's not of God, because you will know what the Word of God says.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, no, and that reminds me, when there's a difference between somebody who is licensed to drive and somebody who actually knows how to drive, right? There are a lot of people with licenses, but God knows they don't know what they're doing behind the wheel, right?
Amen.
And they surely don't act like they know where they're going when they're driving. And so, you know, there's all these different dynamics that go into play. I remember when GPSs became a thing, and we were on our way somewhere, Bev and I and the kids, and my wife would say, well, do you have the directions? And I would say, I don't need them. I got the GPS. She would say, you can't trust that thing. She's like, oh, no, no. And she would go and she would print out the directions on a sheet of paper. From MapQuest.
You
know, because she didn't trust that the GPS was going to actually work the right way. And so she always wanted a backup plan. And even to this day, she doesn't trust the GPS in the car. She has to have her phone as a GPS, also as a backup, just in case the one in the car doesn't work out right. You know, so there's all these, you know, backup things that we go on. And we need the Word of God, because the Word of God says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see if it's of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you test the spirit is you see if it aligns with the Word of God,
Amen.
With the truth of God. And if a spirit is telling you something that's contrary to God, then you know that that's the deceiver
mm-hmm.
who is imitating God rather than speaking the truths of God.
Amen.
And that is why we need to have a print out our own copy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, we're trusting the Holy Spirit. We're trusting the GPS. But that devil is slick. And we need to make sure that the Word is with us and that we're abiding in the Word so that we're not misguided. When we hear something that doesn't sound right, we're like, wait a minute, let me check that. Let me check that scripture. Let me just make sure that I'm getting that right.
And we also have to be concerned with our own flesh.
Yes.
Because even in our own flesh, we can start to get into that grumbling mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into that, you know, when we're tired or, you know, just all the stressors that life put on us.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we have to know the Word of God also, because
right.
we have to speak the Word of God into those situations.
Yes.
Take those thoughts captive to Jesus.
Right.
And allow the Holy Spirit now to change even the way we're perceiving the very situation we're in.
Right.
And now the actual joy that is of the Holy Spirit will start to well up. And now we'll find ourselves just thinking differently, even in that situation.
Right.
But that's what he's saying when he's saying putting to death the deeds
right.
of the body,
putting
right? Because the body will creep up and try and get that old
right.
man
you
to rise
the way
up.
You
yeah.
feel,
yeah, yeah.
I feel I should do this. I feel I should do that. You've heard
Amen.
People say this. And when people start saying, talking about how they feel, that's when you know they're in the flesh. Because it's not, well, this is what the Spirit of God is leading
Amen.
Me to do. And so that we can go, because once somebody says, this is what God is saying I should do, we can all fact check.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? We can all go to the scripture and say, okay, you know, the word of God says this and that, and we can say, go with God. Hallelujah. But if it's not right, we can say, brother, no, sister, that is not according to the word of God. That context, that application is out of alignment here. You know, we need to look at this a little more carefully and really pray and see what it is that God is saying we should do and the direction we ought to go in. So these are the strategies that God gives us so that we can overcome,
Amen.
So that we can prevail. And that's why we're not afraid and we're not shaken. I mean, we're not stupid, so we act in wisdom, right? And, you know, we do the things that we need to do in order to guard against the evils that are real and do exist. But at the same time, there is trickery and deception. Mm-hmm. And we need the truths of God to root us and ground us so that we're not being robbed of divine provision. Yeah. We're not being robbed of the glory of God, the manifestations of God. And that's what Satan will do. And he will take a situation or conditions like we find ourselves in today's culture and society and the world we're in today, and he will use that against the people of God in order to keep them from being effective so that we find ourselves in bondage and fear like the rest of the world. But that is not, certainly not happening. Not for me, it's not. And it shouldn't happen for you.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to, amen, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to arise and operate in the wisdom of God so that the power of God can flow.
Amen.
If you don't operate in the wisdom of God, then the power of God will not flow. So you have to have these two dynamics working together. It's those who are led by the Spirit. The Spirit anoints the Word of God to give you power. The Spirit ignites the Word to give you power.
Amen.
So that you can overcome the flesh, so that you can discern the deceptions of the enemy that come into your mind to make you believe something that's not true or half true, right? Satan is a master of half-truths.
Yes,
he takes what is right and he twists it just enough so that he can get you to do something that you should not do.
Amen.
He did it to Jesus up on the Mount of Temptation, and that's what he did with a lot of the people of Israel throughout the generations. And so he's still doing it today.
Yep.
He's still doing that exact same thing. He takes something that is partially correct and using that truth to propel a lie or a deception or to push you off into a direction that's going to rob you of God's provision, God's healing, his strengthening, and all that he has for you. And you end up missing. And so finally, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit
Amen.
That we are children of God.
Praise God.
Saints of God, there's a witness of the Spirit. There's a witness of the Spirit of God. And God, he confirms his word by his Spirit stirring within us. You ought to be able to feel the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You ought to be able to know the difference between the atmospheres and the presences in the different places that you go. And when you're in the Spirit of God, there is a presence that we experience that goes along with that. And when we're in a other spirit, there's a feeling, if you will, or an atmosphere or a presence that goes with that. And that is why we shouldn't be angry, right? Because there's an angry spirit that robs the atmosphere of a divine presence. And so when the Spirit of God shows up, it's like light and it dispels the darkness.
Amen.
It will bring down every hindering spirit.
Yes.
And that's why it's important, no matter what the situation is, when the atmosphere shifts and you start feeling a certain way and you know it's not God, That means it's time to pray and begin to take authority over that atmosphere, over that spirit that's coming over you. The reason you feel it is because it's coming over you. It may not be on these people around you, but it's definitely on you. That's why you feel it. And so we have to be the ones who say, I feel this oppression and this demonic thing impacting me. God, shake it off me.
Amen.
Deliver me. Lord, set me, help me to see. Because Amen. That's like being in the fog. And now the fog may not, you may not be the cause of the fog, but you're certainly being hindered by the fog.
Yes, sir.
So that means you need clarity. So you got to say, God, enable me to see. And that is what God is calling us to apply this principle in our life. In John 14, 9, Jesus says, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Can you say, show us the Father? And that is what the world needs to see in us. When they see us, they ought to see God.
Amen.
They ought to see the glory of God because we're reflecting it, because we're operating in it, we're cultivating in it. In John 20, 21 and 22, Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Saints of God, you need the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We need the Holy Spirit. There are two types of peace. There is the peace with God. That means your soul is right with God. But then there is the peace of God.
Hallelujah.
And the peace of God is what enables you to not be shaken.
Amen.
It's the thing that makes you steadfast. It enables you to persevere. It enables you to be fearless, and you're able to do what the Spirit of God is charging you and compelling you to do. And that unctioning comes from the Holy Ghost, from the Spirit of God. And that is why we cannot succeed without the power of God's Spirit, so that we can reflect the image of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Oh. I pray that you were blessed today and that you were able to receive of the Spirit of God so that you can apply these principles in your life, so that you can persevere and overcome. God is not just watching, wandering out there in space, waiting and hoping that we do something, but God is imparting himself to us so that we can reflect his glory. We're reflecting the very principles of God. God and his word are one. God is spirit. So we need to be like Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. He is the word made flesh. You and I, we're fully human. We're human beings. But God says, I'm going to balance you out by imparting the spirit to you through the word of God. And as we abide in the word, the spirit grows, it magnifies, it enables us to see, to hear, to perceive. And there is a new revelation and dynamic that comes alive in us so that we can experience the power of God. I pray that you are able to experience the power of God, something more than just religious belief, something more than just knowing what the Bible says, but that you are walking in power and authority, that you are fearless, and that you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, casting down every imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the truth, and that you are able to represent the kingdom of God, sowing seeds, so that one can water and God can bring an increase. And the Spirit of the Lord will manifest Himself among you, and you will see the realities of God. Fine-tune your GPS. Allow the Spirit of God to come alive in you. Hey, allow the Spirit of God to be glorified, to be magnified. Let Him stir so that the joy of the Lord can strengthen you. It is the joy that brings strength. You need strength? Get some joy. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your joy. Allow the fullness of His glory to stir within you, and you will be able to prevail beyond the times. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank You, O God, for Your word today. And we ask, God, that as we leave this place, Your Spirit would be not only with us, not only upon us, but stirring within us, that we would be able to arise in the knowledge of the truth of God's word. God, enable us to operate in the joy of the Lord, that Your Spirit would indeed be at work, overflowing over and through us, so that lives all around us will be impacted for the sake of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.